This is the Cube Talk America Radio Network.
Oh, I just got back just in time. Holy cow, those bathroom breaks. I should be playing like Stairway to Heaven or something.
You've gotten it close.
That'll be hi, everybody. Hey, everybody. We're back. It's the beginning of hour three. Typically,
we're
going to call it the Block C is what we're going to call this one. If you haven't already enjoyed the first two segments of the show, I can't imagine the why you wouldn't just download it yourself, subscribe, or listen to it later on in your leisure time. You know, when you're not reviewing pictures of Beyonce from Coachella. Because, you know, that's important.
I still need to watch that. No, that's very important.
Couldn't give two shits about it. I don't give a shit about anything that happens at Coachella.
Listen, I have very few deeply held personal beliefs in life. One of them is now the Reba drag queen extravaganza. The other one is Beyonce is a robot.
And now, Al Perkins.
She just is. Oh, wait. So we'll start with the fact that we had chatted about the Harvey Weinstein.
Sure.
Did I say his name?
Sure.
We don't know.
Weinstein. I don't know how to say his name.
Marnie.
Anyways, we had talked about the fact that his wife is one of the judges on Project Runway All Stars.
We did.
Founder of Marquesa, Georgina Chapman. And absolutely, his wife is one of the most beautiful women in the world.
Is she a hostage?
No, she left him almost immediately afterwards. She had a couple kids with him. They were married for quite a few years. So my question was, how is Project Runway going to address the fact that they have, you know, all these models? And how will they address the fact that Georgina Chapman's on there? Well, then Project Runway All-Stars just ended. So they must have taped just before it all broke. Like, somehow...
Oh, yeah.
Their little window of Project Runway All-Stars, because they don't really film over 15 weeks.
Right.
That show is filmed over like three exhausting weeks.
Right.
Like when they say last week on Project Runway, they meant like 3 hours ago. Right. Like those people are like breakneck pace. So they never addressed it. It never came up. She only missed, Georgina Chapman only missed 1 week, and I'm not really sure what happened. It was never addressed. But it turns out one of the ways that he was horrible, Mr. Harvey, was that he was using Project Runway as an access to the models.
Mm-mm.
He wasn't doing anything dirty with the contestants, but the models that they used, and that's why they were saying some of them would drop out at the last minute, was over harassment. Well, it turns out the thing that I never realized was that the Weinstein Company owned Project Runway. So now that company's going bankrupt, so Project Runway's on the line.
I thought they already sold the company. I thought it's already been sold.
Not all of it. I think they're still trying to like sell off assets and everything.
Sell your house
and shows.
Right. So
buy
one
Project
of the things,
Runway.
Yeah, that Lifetime is trying to buy back is they want to get the rights to Project Runway. But if it gets lost in the battles, that show just goes away and it will never be heard of again. Like there's just no coming back for it unless somehow people get together and come up with like Project Stairway, you know what I mean? Like something that's close, but not quite the hits you remember, kind of like on Kimmy Schmidt.
Project Runaway.
Yeah. So.
Project Catwalk.
Oh, not Aaron. So I just thought that was interesting because we had talked about that. I know that you guys weren't listening, but Marnie and I had talked about the connection to Georgina Chapman because she was like, I don't know who Georgina Chapman was, even though she swore she watched Project Runway for years. I'm like, she's the other lady on the show besides Nina Garcia. But she is only on the All-Stars mode. She's not on the regular Project Runway.
Oh, okay.
But she did found Marquesa, and she's, if you Google her, she's absolutely gorgeous.
Hmm.
So there's that. That's still in limbo when we're waiting on final word, or it may have happened and I just missed the headline. What else is on this page? Let's go through here first. Broad City is going to end after next season.
Okay.
This season, I think it'll be season 4. Will be the last season. They have first look deals with Comedy Central, either together or separately. And after how funny this last season was, where they bleeped out the word Trump every single time because they thought it was a swear word, just kept up the funny. Like,
right
on. Yeah, if you have Project Broad City, it's kind of Campus Ladies gone completely awry with like more swearing and more sex because on Oxygen they couldn't do too much dirty. But Broad City is definitely the stepchild of Campus Ladies.
Yeah, I was super into it, and then somehow my like Hulu algorithm got all screwed up, so it got lost from my feed for a while, and so now it's back occasionally.
Oh, yeah, and enjoy it. The fourth season, very funny. In season three, when they ended with the period pants, when they go to Israel just for the free trip to Israel, and they're not really just wrong.
Yeah.
And the fact that so they won't find the pot on her, she has some blood stains on the crotch of her pants and covers it with a sweater. Just completely fucking wrong. We did both of those. If you are not watching, it comes back next week, I think.
No, keep going.
Oh. I think it starts back next week.
Which does?
What?
Your phone. Look at your phone.
Check your batteries, Wilma.
You have a message.
I messaged you.
Don't have it.
I don't know why.
Okay, I'll.
Do you have Facebook Messenger?
Absolutely.
Well, then check it, Joan.
It should have given me a little message.
This shows that I sent it.
I think that was really discreet.
I'm sitting there like, what is he talking? Am I in the entertainment now?
No.
No. I'm like, okay.
Clearly not.
Clearly not, apparently. Campus Ladies was two seasons, and Sean Hayes and Megan Mullally were in season two. It was The Groundlings was the comedy troupe that they were from. So everybody from The Groundlings eventually makes it on there. But it was just how willing they were to just offend every single demographic.
It's so priceless.
There was nothing was off limits. When they rushed a black sorority...
Oh, no.
And while priceless and pointed, it was just cringeworthy.
Of course you are.
Because they went and saw a black comedian, and then they tried to come back, and is there black entertainment to rush the sorority? They just repeated a black male comedian's act word for word in their white accents.
Oh, no.
And it just made your heart hurt. It was so awful. But anyways, Westworld from HBO. The new season starts next week. If you missed it, or if, like I did, you dropped off at episode 7 because it kind of felt like, what the fuck is going on? Get back on that boat. Ride that to the finish. That show has, from like episode 8 or episode 7 on, every episode ends with an amazing twist. Just phenomenal television. He's got a make.
I've got it. Okay. My alerts come up.
The bathroom's right out there. So good. A coworker of mine, a friend of mine, he was like, he like texted me in the middle of the night. He's like, do you watch Westworld? I'm like, oh, I gave up. I kind of couldn't follow the storyline after a while. And he's like, oh, no, go back. It pays off. And he was not kidding. That show pays off in like 100 different ways. And I'll give you the one giveaway because we've said the name Dolores already. But the one character's name is Dolores, and as like the guy's in love with her and somebody else is doing something else, and he's like, her name means of pain. And I was like, I've never even thought about that the name Dolores means of pain, or in like Catholic circles, it means Our Lady of Sorrow. It just means hurting, and dolor, pain. Like, I was like, right. How did I never know that that's what that fucking name meant? Like, what a horrible name to give a child. Then to have this character that suffers through all this, and the guy's like, fuck it, her name means of pain. And you're like, ah! But it's so good. So good. Everybody's good in it. And Anthony Hopkins in the last episode, all the awards. He should have won. Like, that was amazing.
Wow.
Yeah, it's really fucking good. The Walking Dead ended its season. They finally wrapped up what, in the course of the players on the show has been, like, if you're watching the TV show, the last four seasons have taken place over 6 weeks, and it has been endless.
Right.
The woman who's pregnant has not entered her second trimester, but people that have stabbed have been healed. People have, like, died, risen from the dead, but she's still not showing. Like, it's been the worst time compression ever on any show in modern history, and they finally put an end to it. She has been pregnant since season 4 and is still not showing. This was the end of season 8. It has been 6 fucking weeks of this goddamn Roadrunner cartoon. So they finally put an end to that bullshit. So if you were waiting to go back to The Walking Dead, maybe start next season. Because this has just been unbearable. This is not entertainment. But this was a story that went around. A lot of people didn't know if it was real. But an engine in a deadly Southwest jet incident missing a fan blade. The part of the engine hit the window, broke a window, and a woman got sucked out.
Oh, my God.
And she got compressed into a window this big. She was not that big.
Not very cute.
They said it was blood. Yeah, 30,000 feet.
Engine exploded.
I think they said 18,000 feet after they had been, like, pressurized. And I think her getting stuck in the window is kind of what helped them land safely, that they didn't drop like a rock. But they pulled her bloody, tangled body back into the plane. landed safely, rushed her off. She's kind of dead.
I can't imagine.
So if you've seen that, it's not a hoax. Like, that really did happen.
When and it just
happened today. Didn't,
oh, yeah. I think it was...
I don't want to fly again.
From LaGuardia to... They were on their way to Dallas, and they actually said to stop. I forget where they...
Philadelphia.
Oh,
they only
I saw a tweet so that they had to divert.
Right.
Yeah, it didn't mention anything else. That was... Oh, yeah. Whoa. Okay,
exploded engine. Begin. Those pressurized windows are perfectly fine for pressure,
right.
But impact from the outside, they're not strong enough.
And you know...
Oh, and not just that, but like when you decompress... Mm-hmm. It's that instant. Will suck a human body through it and turn it into hamburger helper.
And I mean, for those listening, flying still basically the safest form of traveling. These incidents happen like one out of every million. Or more flights.
And this, elevators are still technically the safest form of travel.
Oh,
and the and it comes on the heels of 60 Minutes on Sunday did a big big story about Allegiant Airlines and how they have. For whatever reason, the FAA is just ignoring all of the crazy antics that they're doing with all the failures, all the problems, everything they've got going. And it's like, why is nobody paying any attention to this?
Oh, that plane's held together by duct tape.
Is there anybody that works at the FAA at this point?
Well, they're looking
probably
into
not.
It.
They're
right, exactly. It. Another department that's strangely empty, on like our State Department. So now we'll go over the deaths. I think that's all we have left. So our first one, Oscar-winning director Milos Forman. What day did he die? April 14th. So he died Saturday. Czech-born, the Def Jam. I don't think anybody had Milos Forman. But he won Best Directing Oscars for One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest and Amadeus. He was 86 years old. He was also known for directing Hair, one of my favorite musical movies. Ragtime, The People vs. Larry Flint. Tommy Schlamme, my favorite name in entertainment, who is the Directors Guild president. Milos was truly one of ours, a filmmaker, artist, and champion of artists' rights. His directorial vision deftly brought together provocative subject matter, stellar performances, and haunting images to tell the story of universal struggles for free expression and self-determination. And I would just like to say, on a personal note, that as much as I love the movie Hair, Amadeus is the first time I ever saw a movie, walked out of a movie, paid the money, saw the movie again. It was one of the first movies I ever owned on VHS, and it is one of the first things I ever bought on DVD. It looks like it's going to be a 3-hour boring opus like Gandhi or any of those horrible movies like The Last Emperor, but Amadeus is delightful, fun, a sexy romp. It's so much fun and has probably the greatest performance by an actor ever captured on film with F. Murray Abraham as Solari. The genius that was so jealous of Amadeus that it actually destroyed his life and Amadeus's life, his stalking of, his obsession with.
I feel like I've seen the movie, but not to this
level. You'd remember the laugh. You'd remember Amadeus's laugh.
I've never seen it, but I remember when it came out.
Yeah.
And brilliant. It just stands up to this. And every once in a while, I'll just pull out that movie and watch it. And you will never forget F. Murray Abraham as Solari. Just one of the most beautiful performances ever captured of someone who knows how he's just smart enough to know how good Mozart is.
Right on.
He's just good enough to know that he can never be Mozart. And the jealousy and the just, it consumes him from all angles. His hatred, his jealousy, his love, and it ruins both their lives while Amadeus is just giggling his way and fucking everything in sight. And it's just wonderful. So One Flew of the Cuckoo's Nest, very good. Classic movie. Everyone's seen it. Everyone knows it's great. But Amadeus is probably the one that you don't know is secretly hiding in the vaults of one of the best movies ever made. And a movie that I can never get anybody to watch because they're like, oh, it's going to be like Gandhi, which is just unwatchable.
No, I have a good feeling toward the movie. I feel like I've seen it and enjoyed it. Just maybe not, I mean, as usual, not quite to this level.
Right. And honestly, there's those, I call them the Oscar-winning scenes, like Barbara Streisand, where actually Denzel Washington with the one tear in glory, and Barbara Streisand singing My Man while she's like wiping snot off her nose and crying and
so
singing
good.
Live. Like, there's that one moment on film where you're like, that's
there
where they won
that's
Oscar.
It.
And the last scene where F. Murray Abraham talks about the genius of Mozart, and it just kills him that he's just good enough to know he can't be that good.
Yeah.
Is just so heartbreaking for anybody who's ever been jealous of someone else's talent. It's just devastating to watch. And then Harry Anderson, 65, Night Court actor, Magician, all around good guy. I've never heard a bad word said about him.
Never, ever.
Just dead. Like, just died.
Just died.
Doesn't seem like any kind of foul play.
He was the judge on Night Court.
Oh, the judge. Okay. Yeah. It was such a great show. And, like, all those 80s shows.
In early 80s, he used to come out on SNL, and he was a guest, and he would do magic tricks. And one of the things he used to do was he would explain how the magic trick worked, all the while deceiving you that he was actually showing you and not doing another trick in it, and he was doing a trick within a trick.
Yeah.
And he would come out and do shit. And I actually watched a couple YouTube videos yesterday when I found that he passed, and I'm like, yeah, he was that good. He could just distract the shit out of you.
Yeah.
And it'll have you laughing over here and steal you blind over here. And
Neil Patrick Harris said it was one of the reasons that he got into that close-up magic, what his fascination with it was from watching him as a young person and, like, kind of admiring his shtick, and, like, he's kind of like the Broad City to his campus lady. Nominated for 3 consecutive Emmys. Night Court ran for a surprising 8 years.
Yeah, I was surprised to see that too.
And it was part of the Thursday night lineup with Cheers and The Cosby Show. I don't think The Golden Girls was on Thursday.
Well, if you remember, also we got started out with the little. I forget what, not bailiff. The bailiff was the tall guy. And then we had Salma Diamond.
Yeah, they both
first
died.
One, and they died. And that's where you get, is it Marsha Wallace?
Yeah, Marsha Warfield.
Marsha Warfield.
They kept killing off the bailiff.
Right, the bailiffs kept dying, but Marsha Warfield is where but attitude, I just loved it.
And that she's in my favorite.
Marky Post.
No. The old lady with the Salma Diamond. No.
Salma Diamond was the first.
Salma Diamond was the first one. And she was so funny, but she's in my favorite year. That catches Peter O'Toole in the bathroom. Nominated for 31 Emmys and won 7. I didn't remember it being like that critically acclaimed.
Night Court?
Yeah.
Wow. It was a good show. I love that.
The 31 Emmy nominations kind of surprised me. And I know that John Larroquette won a couple times.
Right.
I remember John Larroquette being very funny on that.
His character as a slime ball was fantastic.
I was somehow remembering watching Night Court followed somehow by Benson. Like, those two were just always somehow... Maybe I was watching in reruns.
Could be in reruns.
Because Benson was ABC, Night Court was NBC.
Right.
Yeah, and I think Benson was years before.
Years before, I would think, yeah.
I think, I don't know.
But yeah, maybe it was on syndication.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
While he earned critical acclaim and amassed a devoted fan base on Night Court, Mr. Anderson never fancied himself an actor. I love the expression, fancied himself. I'm a magician or a performer by nature, and that's always what I've been. I was never really an actor. I was a magician who fell into a part on Cheers. His role as the swindler, Harry the Hat, Geitz or Giddies on Cheers. He appeared in 6 episodes, 4 in the show's first 2 seasons, led to him being cast on Night Court. And his character on Cheers was fantastic. And I think that's why I actually tuned into the show, because I was such a Cheers fan those first couple years when no one was watching. Mm. So he went from, like, the lowest rated years of Cheers into his own show that became a hit. And if I'm not mistaken, I think that show hit it off before Cheers really did. Like,
no idea.
Or they both got popular at the same time, because Cheers is the only show on television that was last in the ratings and first in the ratings during the course of its run. The week that they almost canceled it, it almost got canceled. So I mean, just it's sad, but 65, that's old enough.
Sure.
Well, it's as we're looking at 50, I mean, we're right around that.
Oh, my God, I forgot about he was in Dave's World, about Dave Barry, which ran for 4 years. There are so many shitty shows that run for all this time, and then great shows like Campus Ladies are often, too. Like, what the fuck?
Well, the rest of those shows didn't offend everybody like Campus
this
Ladies.
This is probably true.
It's just, you know, the world's not fair.
And he famously refused to leave New Orleans during the hurricane in 2005. opting to stay in the French Quarter. He evacuated only when the firefighters stationed nearby said they were leaving. So he did stuff for New Orleans. He was a big fan of jazz.
Mm-hmm.
All around nice guy.
All around.
But again, like Barbara Bush and the other one, didn't die young and needlessly. That's long enough.
Speaking of your not really magician stuff, but I don't know if you guys have covered this. Maybe last week's. I don't remember when the announcement is.
My magician stuff.
No, not your magician. I just said sort of magician or entertainment acting.
Segue. I'm
brilliant
sorry.
New career, though.
Plumbing and magician.
Magic.
Hey, magic.
It could be
magic
plumber.
Magic plumber.
Oh, my God. in a bottle.
Did you guys hear that the Easley's Fun Shop, which is a big, long-running costume shop here in the Valley, is closing?
72 years, closing. If I'm not mistaken.
Shut up.
And only about a mile from my house. Yeah. I've never been there. I need to go.
How the hell are you not ever been in a goddamn costume store?
I'm sure I've been to other costume shops and parties, all those things. I just haven't been to Easley, so I'm like, I need to go. They're closing after this Halloween.
This is their
Halloween will be their last.
I'm surprised they're not selling it though.
I know. I thought, why not continue it? It's been 73 years.
It's a family run business. It's so true. The reason to not continue a family run business is because none of the kids want to.
Right. And is it
like
Deb?
That's how that happens.
Deb Easley.
Her daughter's involved though. The daughter's been part of that business since time immemorial. They did so many years of costumes for us the Halloween show.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I did it for 18 years, and I think they did my costumes at least 11 or 12 of them. Yeah. I mean, sometimes phenomenal shit they put together. They bought some costumes, that Mardi Gras costume store built for me. There's a couple of really fun things that were built for me that Easley's bought that you can probably go there and rent some of my old Halloween costumes from drag shows. Like there's one dress there that I know you can still buy. I've seen the headdress a couple times. Just oh my God. And she was so helpful. We'd go in early. We'd go in like July or August for the first meeting with her, give her stupid ideas, and she would let us in to the attic.
Yeah.
And in the summertime, so fucking hot. Not temperature controlled. So how those costumes stayed in one piece, I still don't know. Because it was not temperature controlled. And we would go up there and she would walk us through like every thought you ever had about a costume. Eras. Oh my God. It was so much. And she was so much help and so much fun. Yeah. And when she found out the 1 year that I was having stuff built, she was so nice about it. And then after Halloween, I came back with what I had rented, because I rented some stuff from her, and I was like, what the fuck am I going to do with this? She's like, I can rent that headdress out for the rest. It was this big feathered headdress that I wore.
Sure.
That was built, and she rented that thing out for years. And just, so, I mean, it's a good long, again, 72 years, good long run.
No, it totally is.
The parking restrictions there. They made all their money 1 month a year.
Yep.
Absolute insanity. But oh my God, they did me as a mermaid 1 year. All the shit that they did. Can-can dancers, mermaids, hookers. Just so
all the food groups.
All the food groups.
And you can get food next door.
And the mermaid thing was her idea. I was talking about Bette Midler, and she was like, because I was skinny and could fit into anything back in those days. And she was like, can you get a wheelchair? Do you want a mermaid costume? Do you want to do Bette Midler? And I was like, yes. How soon can we get in that? And it was a mermaid costume, but I could walk. The way the fin worked, I could still like get around. I didn't have to be in the wheelchair. And then she rented me the wheelchair because I couldn't find her. I can't remember, but she got me one because I was going to steal a customer's wheelchair for the night. We were going to put him in his seat and leave him there. But then they're like, what if he has to pee? I'm like, that's not my problem.
The show must go on.
I rented this goddamn chair.
Put a bag on him. Let's do it.
But she got me a wheelchair. So much fun. I'll have to go in this sometime because I drive by there every day on my way to work and just tip of the hat, wag of the finger to her for all the fun years.
I promise this is a quick thing, just sort of entertainment for Kat.
Sure.
You mentioned a couple of years ago, and I finally took you up on your gracious offer, the podcast about the West Wing that they've been like talking.
Josh Molina. What's his name?
Excellent. And I'm a big fan of the West Wing. So
yeah. Oh, and they go episode by episode.
Oh,
yeah.
That's inside fucking baseball. Deep.
It's so good. It is so good. So thank you for that.
Oh, somebody online I know is listening to that. I listened to the episodes that I remembered. I found the
corresponding.
The corresponding one. Yeah, so I listened to a few, and I'm like, wow, this is
deep.
It's a deep
dive. Yeah, that's a deep cut. Yeah.
Yeah.
I enjoy it.
Yeah.
Fun.
Agreed.
Good time.
I would probably enjoy the West Wing now. Like, I could probably go back and start from day one. How many seasons?
Seven.
I could probably go back and just enjoy the hell out of it now that I understand so much more about how it's supposed to work.
And they're so
and mostly written and or directed by my favorite name in Hollywood, Tommy Schlamme.
Yeah, and it's such
Mr.
it's
Schlamme.
So
that's where he's from, The West Wing.
Oh.
The West Wing is something that you can rewatch. I swear I've watched it like 10 times. And every time you watch it, because it's so deep and it's Aaron Sorkin, it's, you know, 80 miles an hour talking.
Oh, you'll,
it's
yeah.
So you learn something new every time you watch an episode. It's amazing.
Yeah. And it's like Gilmore Girls with the speed of that talking and the walking while they're all the things.
Oh, the
that
walk
are
and
now,
talk is my favorite.
Oh,
all the
so things.
And Veep has turned that into the biggest cliche that every conversation has to happen on Veep while they're walking and swearing because of The West Wing. And that Aaron Sorkin of like, who talks this fast? Like, just stop a second. Have that conversation.
He's
stationary.
He's got a time limit and a lot of shit to
and
say.
And it's where Ellis and Jenny really got famous. It's where Ellis and Jenny really comes from.
I really wanted a C.J. Craig spinoff.
And,
not gonna lie.
Yeah. I went out.
Like a Hollywood writer, like a PR.
Grease is in the theaters right now, the 40th anniversary. We just went a couple nights ago.
Okay. Oh, it is the 40th anniversary.
But I didn't realize that, and I can't remember the actress's name.
Stockard Channing.
And it was in the credits, and I'm like, holy crap.
Mm-hmm.
It's her as, you know, 30 years younger. And I'm like,
and
same
still
exact.
Over still over 30 playing a teenager.
It's just amazing.
Oh, because you're imagining her to be Abby Bartlett.
40 years younger.
No, because the West Wing is in the 90s. It was actually only 20 years. Yeah.
Oh, I'm yeah, yeah, like, from today. I'm yeah. sorry. I'm going
okay,
back to
it was
my
only
78.
Like 20, but Stockard Channing was almost 40 playing a teenager. Mm-hmm. Like, when you watch that now, you're
they
like,
good thing it wasn't HD.
They were all 40 playing teenagers, though.
Except for Diana Manoff, uh-huh. Frenchie, and John Travolta is 19. He's she's a child. I don't think he was 21 yet when they filmed that.
The rest of them make up for it.
That movie so fast-paced.
Oh, I mean, they're older and oldest. Oh, my God. Dee Dee Conway is like 30. Olivia Newton-John's over 30. Yeah. But there's, I mean, grandma's playing it like, because you're like, oh, she's pregnant. Can she? Is she in menopause? Like, is that even possible?
Listen, there are worse things she could do.
There are worse things she could do.
But you know what she doesn't have?
Two things.
A segment of her own.
Two things is what she brings. Two things is what she's talking about. Two things, important little things. That is what she's spouting out.
You just need two things.
That means two things.
Let's get two things clear.
And then two things about yourself.
And I've come to share with you one of two things. No, two of two things. We're sharing two things right now.
There are only two things I can't stand in this world.
Quick, grab two things you love.
It can be two things.
Only two things in the world I'm scared of.
Rise of frazzled two things.
Remember two things.
I believe in two things.
Guys are only after two things.
What's better, doing two things at once or just one?
Never half-ass two things. Whole-ass one thing.
Kat Carlson.
So, usually two things kind of turns out a little ranty. So, today, we're going to go the other way. Because I saw in my brief but thorough prepping for the show today. Mm. Yeah, in the 10 minutes before you guys showed up to the bar.
That's valid.
Yeah. That's more prep than some days.
By 10 minutes.
2 minutes.
Right. Yeah. I did happen to come across two things, which is how it got in this segment, that seemed more hopeful than some. And one of them was the Starbucks story. In case you missed the first hour and a half of Crosstalk and Debacle, Starbucks is going to close all of their corporate-owned...
Oh, yeah.
Now, this is a key distinction. It's just corporate-owned. So if they are licensed or franchise locations, they may not be closed for the same training. It's just...
What is the 29th? What physical
it's
day
a Tuesday.
It's a
Tuesday.
They picked that date.
Yep.
Oh,
out of a hat.
Day after Memorial Day, maybe.
Maybe.
All right.
They probably looked at sales, and it's a slow day, but they're going to close and put all of their, some 8,000 employees through a racial bias training in reaction to the incident that happened at the Starbucks with a couple of black guys hanging out waiting for a friend, getting arrested.
Ridiculously.
Right. Disgusting. Yeah. Disgusting. So that's like, that feels like a hopeful thing. You know what
Absolutely.
I mean? Like, that feels like, okay, we're going the right direction.
Yeah, we're going to
I feel like we're still a bunch of white people that don't know what the fuck we're doing.
We're going to take a breath, especially in Philadelphia.
Right.
Which is supposed to have their shit together.
Mm.
Right.
They don't.
They don't. Nobody does.
They're supposed to, yeah.
Right, and then immediately following that, it's kind of funny. It's from the Great Falls Tribune in Montana, but it was a story about a rodeo clown, as you would in Montana.
Okay.
Who was changing his shtick based on like a sexual harassment angle. So it kind of goes through and describes that, you know, he used to just pull, you know, pretty women out of the audience and kind of do this over the top like comedic flirt thing, and it was all about how he didn't feel like that was comfortable or appropriate anymore to be pulling young girls out of the audience.
Okay.
And being suggestive towards them.
Yeah.
You know. And so it was just a like back to back kind of hopeful, like, wait a minute.
Yeah, somebody wants to do the right thing.
I feel like we're getting it.
What's his new shtick?
It didn't say.
Okay. That's fine.
It was more about
the pulling young boys out of the crowd.
But you're right. Moving on. Yeah, I agree.
Equally appropriate. Yeah, so it was just in a weird turn of events, like hopeful two things.
It's fascinating that you put those two things together.
Well, because they're
you're quite good at that.
Yeah, and the one thing I will say is at least they're not doing the Chipotle where they have to close down and teach them how to wash their hands because they're not spreading E. coli.
Good God.
Awkward.
Which I
awkward.
Love Chipotle.
Or make kills me. Although,
I gotta say the latest lettuce outbreak just really relieves me of any guilt of not eating salad. I'm okay with it.
It happened again.
Yeah, there's some. They traced it back to like Yuma or something.
Mm-hmm. That's
lettuce.
True.
A lot of lettuce
lettuces.
There. So
try to avoid it.
I do agree. It's the right thing to do. Take a breath. You know what I mean? You
and,
don't want to see Philadelphia in turmoil. But at the same time, like... And the two Starbucks that I go to the most down here, the one that they just built, there's a homeless problem on all four sides of that store. Like, that store is just next to a park that's filled with the indigent, probably disenfranchised. But it, you know, there's a real problem with homeless people there. They're always wandering up to that Starbucks. You know, there's people begging for money on all four of those corners.
You're talking about Seventh Avenue and Osborne?
No, Seventh Street and McDowell. But
okay.
Seventh Avenue and Osborne has its own little problem, but Seventh Avenue and McDowell also has less of a problem because they don't have that park there. There's that park at Seventh Street and McDowell where the homeless people it's where they live.
Right across from the Pride offices, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yes, which I finally, like, looked and saw this time.
And they're there?
I cut down that street, and I'm like, oh, there's the Pride office everybody was talking about, and there's where Marnie got locked in. So, I mean, if you can handle that crowd, you can handle two guys waiting for a ride.
Right.
You know what I mean? You should be able to...
There's no need to jump the shark.
There's no need to do that kind of stuff. And the people at the Starbucks that I go to are very kind. They're very tolerant and helpful. I know they do some kind of like giving back program with the food at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
There's some grocery store near us now that has a no waste policy.
Mm.
Is it Safeway now that hasn't?
I'll bet it's something like Winco.
No, it's either. I don't go to Fry's. It might be the Fry's at 7th Avenue and Camelback.
Oh,
but one of them has
the
no waste program where they're like giving the food to the...
Instead of throwing it out, give it away.
They give it away. They give it to shelter. So, I mean, there's just something to be said for, like, handling the shit in the area that you're in that you don't need to just resort to cop calling. Like, don't escalate it like that. Don't make it seem like a problem.
My first...
Maybe introduce yourself and ask a question. Like, what's going on? Why are you here? If you're not buying coffee, what you doing?
Right.
My first...
Can I get you something? Can I ask a question? And treat everybody with a little bit of respect, you might find out.
Oh, I solve a lot of problems that way.
Yeah.
What you doing?
It's a really shitty spring with some really shitty weather. We're just waiting inside. Good day to you.
Okay, fair.
Yeah.
See you later.
My first job ever, and which didn't last very long, I worked at a Cinnabon for 4 hours. And
a long, hard road.
I worked at a Denny's for a very similar amount of time.
I asked to be promoted to manager, and they declined, so I resigned. But anyways, they had a policy of giving things to the homeless, and no one could get their act together on apparently the first day of operation of that Cinnabon in a Smitty's, I think that's where it was, which didn't make any sense at all, because who wants sticky things with groceries?
And,
I do.
Okay. Cinnabon and the grocery store?
Fact, when Smitty's was bought out locally by Fry's, they built the new Fry's, which at the time was the one at 20th and Highland.
When I walked in the first day and I saw they had a brand new Cinnabon inside, I was in heaven.
I can go to the back, get my ice cream, come to the front, get my nice hot Cinnabon, sit in the parking lot and eat that shit immediately.
We sold like zero Cinnabons that night, so all of them went to the homeless shelter, but at least they were going to a good cause.
Right, and that's there was a problem before with like, oh, they're going to sue if something spoils on the way over, you know what I mean, if it can't be properly refrigerated. And then it's like, you know what, your sandwiches aren't like...
Right.
Take care with things that need to be like held at the correct temperature, and the rest, like, help somebody out.
Right.
Because I mean the homeless situation. I mean, we got nothing on San Francisco or San Diego or like L.A., but the homeless problem here and the mental health problems here in Phoenix have just escalated. I don't know if it's just because I drive through it every single day, but it is.
It has expanded.
It's very, very, very bad.
Mm-hmm.
And something's got to be done somewhere.
Yeah.
To help these people, because you can tell a lot of them just need...
They just want to leg up. They just give them some jobs somehow.
Some of them need like actual help and counseling. Absolutely. And there's a lot going on there.
Yeah.
It's sad, but you know we have the weather to support it for right now.
Mm. They escape from St. Joe's periodically, sometimes bringing their IV bag with them.
Yep. Seen that.
Yep. Good times.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Good times.
Wow. I haven't seen that.
I was reading a story. I was looking up something, trying to find out if I could figure out the no waste thing for grocery stores.
I was going to say, was it magic?
No, Sprouts has. I've got a copyright on that magical plumber.
I'm going to look up the domain.
No,
he's added it to his LinkedIn.
Sprouts is a store that I guess is announcing some new locations, and they're doing that as
Seventh Avenue in Osborne,
where the no waste for their food and all that stuff. It either goes to a farm or they give it to people. So. Stuff that's not edible, they obviously shoot out to a farm and give it to livestock or whatever the hell.
And we should, because food waste is a massive problem in this country. I mean, it needs to go.
But I got into a Phoenix recycling thing about how many fucking problems those goddamn plastic bags cause to the recycling program. And it's about $1 million a year it costs
to unclog
everything that those damn things. So by all means, if you've got those plastic bags, save them in a sack of some sort in your house and take them to the grocery store and put them in the thing where you can recycle those bags. Because in Arizona, we can't even bring up the pact of eliminating the goddamn thing.
Yeah. And then make sure that your store does something with them, because you don't want to find out
that they just trash them.
That you're not part of a recycle program.
They're just going in a dumpster.
No, I save them all out there in one big plastic bag, and then I take them like once a month to Fry's.
Yeah.
But I do take my cloth bags, my reusable bags all the time now.
And I do the reuse. Like if I travel, when I pack shoes, I put them in plastic bags so they don't get the dirt of the ground on my clothes and
all that stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
Reduce, reuse, recycle.
I think we're going to bypass our thoughtful vulgarity segment.
I qualify.
We've been very thoughtful.
But,
we were thoughtful for an hour and a half at the top of this thing.
Joe has requested. You said like the first 2 or 3 minutes of the first hour of this greatest hits.
Yes. Yep. Let's listen to us listening to us.
Let's. Stimulating
Let's watch
radio.
Watch us listen to us.
Stimulating radio. We'll see how this goes.
I'm terrified.
And good luck to all of you.
Not Quite Q Talk America. Mostly presents.
For a very special episode of the show with Clayton McKee.
I was taken out of context. Everyone's favorite.
I want to be taken out of context.
It feels like the impossible dream to dream it, like just to try.
I feel like... No. Look at the time, please. Write that down.
Well, I have no fucking idea what has happened.
I am so
That's
happy.
That's my favorite in a long time. Do you remember that? When
all of a sudden, there was just an odd noise.
Oh.
Let's relive this horror. Where did that go?
Jesus Christ. So, like, if we had an editor for this show...
Somebody could actually make it funny by editing it.
Is that a thing that could still happen?
How long do you think that's going to take?
A couple years. Yeah. I think they're all royalty free, and they could be the theme song to this show.
Oh, no.
My God.
You missed the new on hold music. You didn't even pay attention to it.
Oh, that's true.
Where are you to be on hold at?
It sounds almost exactly the same.
You found Q Talk America, home of the show with Clayton McKee.
Blah, blah, blah. Well, you know, the cast of the show has been all like, mixing cocktails, brewing coffee, watching cat on a Roomba videos, restoring power, or whatever else they do before the show starts. Oh. My bad. Did I swear before my British counterpart read a disclaimer?
And by the way, the following 14-hour show,
Just kidding. Most likely, and quite literally contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. This train wreck is not provided with any warranty, express or implied. Cannot be combined with any other... Do not puncture or incinerate this broadcast.
The Supreme Court has ruled that listening to this broadcast while performing surgery may be a violation of federal law.
This disclaimer is not valid within 6 kilometers of the Volga River. Actual knowledge is usually not contained in this broadcast. I'm right on top of that, Rose. Do not consume this entire broadcast in one sitting. The views represented on this broadcast may not represent the views of this broadcast. And, finally, the goddamned fucking batteries are probably not included.
You forgot that one thing.
Rachel will be very angry. I wasn't ready that time. Okay, I'm good.
Jesus Christ!
As you might have figured out by now, this probably isn't the Cue Talk America you're looking for.
This show is a result of a lost bet in a bad game of marry, fuck, kill, or was it that game with the cutting shears?
This is the best of the show with Clayton McKee, season 4, parenthetically the funniest moments of. And now, a man who was voted most talkative person west of Central Avenue, Val Perkins.
What the fuck am I in the middle of?
Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show. Formerly with Clayton McKee.
Somehow in the middle of this
one. Oh, his microphone's not working. Everyone, that's an all skate. Everyone drink, that's a technical.
Yeah, it's a technical error.
I can tell from where we move from one studio to another based on the echo. I can tell from that.
Oh, funny.
Oh my gosh.
That's funny, Joe.
It's really good.
See? Oh, I was right. If you edit this, it's a funny show.
It's a funny show.
Otherwise,
editing.
It's just 3 hours of wah, wah, yeah, wah, wah, wah. Natalie Cole this, Natalie Cole that.
156 hours of broadcasting.
We need to up our game at the telethon so we can afford an editor from now on.
Oh, you should have
a telethon.
That's a new feature.
I didn't know we were having a telethon.
Why isn't there a telethon?
Oh, I like the thought of a telethon. That's good. We should do that. Oh, maybe have a plumber's convention. We could do that.
Incidentally, ClaytonTheMagicPlumber.com is available.
Oh, it's good. I'm very excited about that.
You could have a song like similar to like Puff the Magic Dragon.
Oh, Clayton the Magic Plumber.
Yeah.
Oh, I like it.
Sure. Live by the sea.
Anyways, there's a lot of awesome stuff in that.
That's fantastic. So. Thank you, Joe.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm very curious. I'll have to go through it. I will have to go through this to that.
We're hilarious.
When edited down.
3 minutes a show.
A condensed show. Absolutely. Well, here we are. Like I said, it was our 6th year. We've done this 6 years.
And
we're still good. Al. Thank you, Al.
Congratulations, everyone.
Right on top of that, Rose. Cheers indeed. Thanks, Joe.
Yes. Thank you. Anywho. We've done it. Thank you all in the chat room for being here. Thanks, Joe DeGanzik, for putting together the greatest hits of season 4. I guess we're about to start, sometime, we'll start season 7, right?
Tuesday.
We'll figure it out. Okay. I don't know.
Why change now?
Right.
As we wrap up tonight's show, let's leave you with this parting thought. We will
see you next Tuesday!
David, what does burning smell like?